bringing it to them all day. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Win or lose, we bringing it to you always. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Orange or black, we rebuild the pack. No matter where we at, you know we coming back. Section 336, we on this, so tune in. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Birdland. You know what's up? Welcome to Birdland. Birdland.
Now, here come the boys from Section 336.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Baltimore sports fans of all ages, welcome to Section 336, Next Generation Baltimore Sports Talk. I am your endearing Southern host, Matt Soroka. And as always, I'm joined by a guy who spent his whole week trying to convince Mike Elias that the Orioles should be buyers at the trade deadline, not sellers, the button lover, Josh Soroka.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
If I was Mike Elias, I would try to convince them to be a buyer at the deadline. Do you know what my argument would be?
Buy for next year?
No, for this year.
All right. Let's jump right into it. How would you convince Mike Elias that he should be a buyer?
No, what this is just a joke, but Josh, we shared this at the beginning of the season. I was optimistic about the Orioles this year.
Yeah.
And we're jumping right into it, but I'm pumped about this show. I've been waiting a long time to do this show because this is an episode we're doing after Orioles are just coming off a sweep. So we don't get to do this very often.
Yeah, I should be wearing my Birditude shirt.
That's right.
After crushing the Nats this weekend.
Taking back that Madison Cup that they thought they had.
Yeah, the Madison Cup that nobody cares about.
Yeah.
I don't even know, do they even call it the Madison Cup anymore?
We call it the Madison Cup. I don't care what they call it.
I know, but do they on Madison call it the Madison Cup?
I don't know.
I would like I think there should be some stakes in the game for the Madison Cup, where I think whoever wins the Madison Cup, they get their games on Madison 1 for the rest of the year.
Mm.
So if you want to take charge and you want to go back to this flip-flopping crap, that's fine. But there needs to be some something where Madison, or we play the game of, hey, Nats, you want more Madison money than the contract that you signed? You got to beat us. If you win the Madison Cup, you get a few percentage points.
Yeah, that seems the way to settle this, right? Why are they settling in the courts? It should be settled on the baseball field. A baseball dispute over money should be settled on the baseball field. But just give us a couple years.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe even next year we'll be okay. We don't want to do it like 2 years ago when the Nats were good.
Yeah. I think I saw people saying on, and I'll tell you why we should be buyers in a second, but I saw people saying that, you know, the Nats are going to blow it up and go into rebuild mode. I don't think the Nats are going to go into rebuild mode at all because the Nats do something traditionally we don't do, and that's spend money.
Spend money.
Right. They signed Scherzer. They signed Strasburg. So Lester and all these guys, Corbin. So I think they'll sell Scherzer. They'll trade Scherzer. Yes. Maybe they'll trade Turner. I doubt they'll trade Turner, but I think they'll try to this off season again. They'll have Strasburg coming back, and I think they'll try to sign a bunch of guys and still compete. They're not blowing things up. They're not going Orioles rebuild mode.
They're not in a position that they need to rebuild. They're in the NL East, which is not a real tough division. And yeah, Scherzer trading makes sense. And then you use that money to sign another pitcher this offseason.
Yeah, he's on the final year of his deal anyway. So
and the difference with the Nats is they have enough pitchers that they can go ahead and trade one.
Yeah. But I was talking about this at the beginning of the year, and I haven't talked about it since then because it's too depressing. But like I told you, that's the beginning of the season. Josh, on my bookie, and this is why I would try to convince Mike Elias to be buyers. I bet more money than I ever had on anything on the Orioles winning over 63.5 games.
Oh, I probably did as well. That's correct.
So, it's probably nothing you fiends.
I bet
$5 a game. On this one, on the Orioles 63.5, I probably have, I don't know, like $150 out there on it. On 63.5. That's the most I've ever bet.
You must have had that money already in your account.
Yes, it was left over from football season, and I put it all into this game, or this Orioles win total. And they're set 63.5. And right now, Josh, I'm very happy about the winning streak, but right now, 34-64, it's still not looking good. The Orioles need to play like 500 ball the rest of the way to get to that 63.5 number.
Well, hey, they won three this weekend. They're playing 100% of their weekend games.
Yeah.
For this weekend. You like the Orioles superstition? Did you notice that they wore the black jerseys Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Oh, I didn't notice. Is that a thing?
They won Friday, so they said, hey, let's wear the jerseys again on Saturday. Mm. And then they won on Saturday, so they said, hey, let's wear them again on Sunday.
Nice.
So I hope it's a real thing that the Orioles are then wearing the black jerseys again on Tuesday with the Marlins. And I hope they're not washing the jerseys and they're just going all superstition.
Yeah, and the jock straps, those same jock straps, all that stuff keep the same.
Yeah.
That's how that works. You can't just do it on outward appearances. Inward, too. Outward and inward with those things.
And then Wynn and Severino are sharing the same cup behind the plate.
Yep, you have to.
Got
to
keep the same one back
just,
there.
Just part of the deal.
It's more valuable than our actual catchers at this point.
Well, our major league catchers. Adley Rutschman was just announced as the AA Player of the Week. Well, so that's something.
Because he had a monster game. He had stats in one game that most people hope to get in a month.
Yeah, it's true. He had the 7 RBI game with a couple home runs.
From both sides of the plate.
Yeah, you just look like his walk numbers are just incredible. Now he's walking more than he's striking out. So it's just, he's doing his thing. He should be at Norfolk. It's annoying. He's still at AA, actually.
He's going to finish this. He's not going to be into Norfolk this year.
You don't think so? You think he'll spend the rest of the year?
I think he might never go to Norfolk.
Yeah.
I think he might go finish this year in Bowie and come to Baltimore next year.
It's possible.
I think there's a good – I can make a good argument that he will learn nothing in Norfolk.
So yeah. You're
using except him how, now.
Yeah, and he's on a winning team now, except how to lose. And Norfolk is not as good as a team as Bowie, so they'll lose more games.
And he's catching for better pitchers. He's catching for pitchers. You plan to be the future.
I don't know. They got some. I mean, you got Bradish. You got Kramer. Like, you got some potential pitchers there at Norfolk. All right,
maybe.
Kevin Smith was just called up.
Okay.
I mean, why not call? I know Grayson Riggs had a rough outing last outing, but he's been dominant up until his last outing. Why not send both of them up at the end of the year?
No, and that'd be fun. But, I mean, minor league baseball season ends in like a month.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's coming to the end here.
Maybe 2 months.
And there's playoffs, and Norfolk has no shot at the playoffs. But last I checked, the Bay Sox were, I think, a game or two games out of first place on their playoffs, and they have to get in first in their division to make the playoffs. And so they still have a playoff chance. So maybe if you want to keep them there for the playoffs and then you get to play more games, I don't know.
Teach them how to win.
I don't know if that's part of it. I don't know if that matters. I don't know. I'm not worried about it either way. He's going to be a good major leaguer.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Okay. Sorry, I started off right. I jumped right into it. Today we're going to get into the Orioles sweep of the Nats. So we'll talk about the starting pitching. We'll talk about some stock prices as far as Orioles trade candidates that are going up through the roof.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Josh's new favorite player.
I have a new favorite player.
You do, Josh.
He's not a new favorite player. Okay. I believe I've said on this podcast before that I really like this kid, and I have high hopes for this kid.
And you're willing to trade Cedric Mullins so he can play every day?
I did not say that.
Oh.
I believe I said
that's too far.
I believe I said I liked him in the outfield with Cedric Mullins.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I went to the game on Saturday at the Jim Palmer bobblehead.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I had tickets till that, like 4:30 that day. I didn't realize I had tickets.
Yeah. Big crowd. Looked really good on TV. Looked like the first real crowd of the year and probably the only real crowd of the year.
It was insane. It was a huge crowd. I couldn't remember last time I saw a crowd that big. It was insane.
What was the driving force for the crowd? The bobblehead? Or remember, this was also the game that was 70% off tickets.
Oh, I forgot about that.
All of that was kind of built into setting this game up to be the perfect game?
Yeah.
Or are people finally comfortable with going to the city of Baltimore?
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of those statue night games, right? The statue nights where there would be no crowd, but then for statues, there'd be huge crowds.
Right.
I think it was partly because Jim Palmer bobblehead. I think it was partly because it's the Nats. And, you know, you get those, a lot of DC fans.
Yeah, and I think the old Oriole fans.
Yeah. Yeah, who have experienced a World Series in their lifetime, unlike us. So who were the suckers, really?
Hey, I'll keep waiting to get mine in orange and black.
Yeah, well, you say that now.
Elias, I expect a ring when that comes.
And then there was just
Orioles media.
It was like the perfect. It was a beautiful Saturday night, and so I think if you didn't have plans, you just headed over there. Like we got there, I don't know, half hour before the game started, maybe 40 minutes before the game started, and there was almost no parking left in the BC lot. Like we were in the really back of the BC lot. It was
okay.
It was That's wild. Good. Also, and the concession lines.
It Josh, had to be horrible. The concession lines had to be horrible because they were bad at the beginning of the season when people weren't going to games.
It was. And it's unbelievable.
They still aren't letting you take stuff in, right?
Yeah. You can't take in again. And really, I really like you. You can't. You have to miss two innings if you want to get something to eat. Like, just know you're going to miss two innings. And even Josh, this is how I knew it was crazy when I was like, whatever, because I was there with my son.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not waiting in these lines. Let's just go get some freaking Dippin' Dots. No one eats those. And then there's 20 people waiting to get Dippin' Dots. I'm like, okay, this is too much. I'm going to wait in line for Dippin' Dots? No one eats Dippin' Dots. No,
Dippin' Dots is a bunch of cold gravel.
Yes, no one eats Dippin' Dots. I've never seen anyone lined up to eat a bowl of Dippin' Dots ice cream. I've never seen that before in my life. And there was 20 people waiting to get Dippin' Dots.
All right, so the Orioles made this new rule this year about you can't bring food in.
Is that why the lines are long?
They said it's because of COVID safety. So now they're packing you in the stadium, letting you get COVID by sitting next to strangers.
Well, or just standing in line in the concessions.
Or standing in line in the concessions. Well, my argument was standing in line for the concessions previously. But now it's full occupancy, and they're still not letting you bring stuff in. That's all about money. And they're going to never open that up again, are they?
Yeah, I don't know.
If it was a COVID restriction, then when the masks go away, when full occupancy comes back, which we've passed those milestones,
yeah,
and it should have been you can bring back in your food.
And I don't know what the rule is. I don't know if they changed the rule. I don't know. I mean, because that had to do with, like, bags, right, I guess, and not wanting to check bags.
No. I don't know what it was about, because who carried bags in? You'd buy a hot dog on the street, and you walk in with your hands with the hot dog in your hands. Maybe you have a clear Subway bag or Wawa bag or Royal Farms bag.
Yeah, I never understood the rule to begin with.
It doesn't make any sense, and the Orioles need to reinstate that immediately, especially after the mess you guys had to deal with on Saturday, because I'm sure it was horrible.
It was, yeah, and anyone who was there can attest to just it was. And maybe I went at a bad time, but I tried like two separate times, and I wasn't going to do it, but, you know, my son really wanted to eat, and I was like, crap. I had to feed the kid. Dad, it's funny. Dad refused. He went to like the team store or another like merchandise store, and they sell, I guess, ice cream in one of the merchandise stores, like, you know, just prepackaged ice cream. Yeah. So that's what he had for dinner because he didn't want to wait in the long line.
That's his way to, what is it? Hack the system.
Or a form of protest. Yeah.
That's his Oriole hack to give the Orioles money in a different location.
Yeah. But good for the Orioles. I guess they made a ton of money on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Just in time that they, then announced, I guess it didn't go into effect. They're smart. It didn't go into effect until next week where they do the, spend $40 and you get, all the games you can come to for standing room only.
Yeah. That's a cool promotion too.
Yeah,
and it was cool.
Definitely some hidden things. So read the fine print, but it's a cool promotion.
Yeah, it was cool to see even like the up top bar, which has previously been closed, that was open. The standing room.
Oh, the center field bar was open.
Yeah, that was open.
Standing rooms open.
Standing rooms open. Everything was you know, the Utah Street. Everything was open, I talked about it after the game on Saturday. Just the energy level was so high, and of course, the Orioles played well and they won.
Right.
But it was like it had this just high energy. And it was, you know, not your typical Orioles game. And it was just really fun, too, because I've been going to several. And I went to the DeMarva Shorebirds on Friday. I didn't get a bobblehead, even though I was supposed to. I got a voucher for a bobblehead.
Did you get two vouchers?
I did get two vouchers.
There you go. All right. Now you got to drive all the way back to DeMarva, but okay.
Vouchers. Yeah. But anyway, it was just the difference. Like, I like the minor league games, but there's something about a major league, you know, stadium full of people. That's just the energy. It was a lot of fun on Saturday night.
Yeah, no, that's what you want. And that's cool.
And I got a Jim Palmer bobblehead.
Yeah. And COVID.
Yeah. Possibly. But I'm vaccinated. So my symptoms will be mild. That's what they tell me.
Exactly. Right.
All right. Other stuff we want to get to.
Santander, right?
Yeah.
Santander out this week.
Well, is that rumored? There's no way to know.
Oh, I thought they came out and said he and another person are in COVID protocol.
Right, but that could also be for a flu, right? That could be he was just exposed to someone or cough or anything else. It doesn't mean.
Gotcha. Gotcha. All right.
But the guy out there taking some of his at-bats is a guy, your new favorite player, Josh, or maybe he was always your favorite player, Ryan McKenna.
I've been saying since McKenna came up that I see something in McKenna. I like McKenna. I thought at the beginning of the season, I said many times, I thought they brought McKenna up too early, but that he's learning at the big league level. And I think we're seeing it really start to come together now this week.
Well, Ryan McKenna is so interesting, Josh, because you're right. They brought him up too early. Like, he had no time at Norfolk. It's not like he had, like, this amazing blow-up year at Bowie either, the year before. No,
they just needed him, and they brought him up for his speed.
Yeah, but there's other guys, like Jamai Jones, who they've been so deliberately slow with.
Yes.
Even other guys, like we mentioned, Adley Rutschman, where they're not moving guys up to next level. These prospects are being so deliberately slow with. And yet Ryan McKenna is a case where they don't care about bullpen arms, like these veteran bullpen arms, and they almost treat Ryan McKenna like this veteran bullpen arm, where we don't care about the development. We just want him up here. And maybe that's because they know even if offensively he contributes nothing, they can still use him for his glove and his speed and base running, all that jazz.
Or
but it's interesting how they've done Ryan McKenna. It feels different than some of the other position player prospects.
Right. Or it's how they watched McKenna at Project Bowie last year and maybe saw some stuff there where they thought they could use him. Because he's clearly, I mean, he's not lost on this team. He's not a huge batting average guy, but he's not lost. He's contributing.
Oh, yeah. Had a huge game on Sunday with the home run. And then I don't know who else scores from third on that final play. On Sunday, when Ryan McKenna scored from third. I don't know who else scores on that besides Ryan McKenna.
I don't know how McKenna scored on that.
It was a hard hit ball to third base.
Yeah.
Right? That's the shortest throw across the home.
He threw it straight home. It was a fast reaction. It was a bang bang play at home. When McKenna took off, I thought he was screwed.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. I was like, this is
going to hit the ball.
This is a disaster.
Double play.
Yeah.
Yep. So, no, it was awesome. Right now, if you had to pick, who's your fourth outfielder, McKenna or DJ Stewart? You're going to go McKenna, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it's interesting.
You're starting to see some future. DJ, you're kind of running off.
I mean, I've seen, Josh, to be honest, and maybe we're at different points here, I've seen nothing at the plate that tells me Ryan McKenna is going to be a consistent major league outfielder. Like, at the plate, he's batting 173. Like, there's around that.
I agree.
Now,
he got a home run this weekend.
He did get a home run. But still, you look at the last seven games, 17 at-bats, 3 hits.
I agree.
That's not what you want to see.
I argue against that. But I still like the kid.
Austin, the last week, 8 strikeouts, 0 walks. That's not what you want to see either.
But that's also probably because he's in the majors too early.
Right.
We brought him up so early that the bat is going to be the last thing to come around.
Yeah, that's fine. And he didn't play any last year. He was just he was at the alternate site, but didn't play in any leagues last year. And he's kind of, last time he played was in Bowie the year before that. And so it's a jump for him and having not played last year. Like, all those things are true. For me, I think he's still a big question mark. I don't know. Like, is he, we talk about this all the time, is he part of your 2023 World Series team? Is he your fourth outfielder there? Maybe.
And
maybe not, but like, maybe when Colton Cowser comes and Heston Kerstad comes, like, maybe there'll be no more room for Ryan McKenna. Like, I just don't know what his future here is. Right. To me, he's very much a question mark. But yes, at this point, I love DJ Stewart. I'm a DJ Stewart guy. But at this point, I'd rather see Ryan McKenna in the outfield than DJ Stewart.
Right, because you're thinking about the future. And you're right. We don't know what McKenna's bat is going to be like in the future. But he's young, he's got speed, he's exciting defensively and really on the base paths. So he brings something different to this team.
Oh, absolutely. There's not a ton of speed on this team. And so I think there's not a lot of slow players, but there's also not a lot of speedsters outside of Cedric Mullins. And so you team him up with Cedric Mullins, you can do more things, whether it's the defense replacement at the end. And goodness knows if you have Mountcastle or Stewart in the outfield, you need a guy who can be a defensive replacement late in the game, or you need a pinch runner late in the game. But you see, like, speed on the base pass can be the difference between a win and a loss. It was the case on Sunday, and that's the case often. So, yeah, he's definitely worth a long look. And so I hope he plays in a bunch of games here at the end of the year. I'm curious to see next year. I would imagine next year he's in line for that fourth outfield spot as well.
Yeah, and McKenna, it's, yeah, just making sure this article is recent. McKenna is 25th of the Orioles' top prospects. So okay. It's not horrible. It means they still expect good things out of him.
Right, like, but there's a lot of outfielders over him.
Yeah, I think a lot of times we focus on those top 10 guys.
Yeah.
But 25th is not, it's not Norfolk material.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he's a guy where it all depends on his hit tool because the fielding's there, the base running's there. So can he hit for 250? If he can hit for 250, he can be a really good fourth outfielder. If he can hit for 270, 280, he can be an everyday outfielder, right? So we just got to kind of wait and see with him. But he's only 24 still, so certainly you want to see him play every day. And he's a special place in my heart because he was the first player that my son Silas got an autograph. We met him down in downtown Annapolis for when they used to do that caravan thing, which I hope they bring back next year, next off season. But he met Ryan McKenna. We met Ryan McKenna and got his autograph. So I love Ryan McKenna.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So hopefully he plays more. And I'm like, he's the kind of, for me, a wait and see guy, a wait and see.
Yeah. Josh Yuka says McKenna reminds him of a Craig Gentry type guy, but a younger version.
Yeah.
Which I guess would fit into that fourth outfield defensive replacement.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not my favorite fourth outfielder. My favorite fourth outfielder for the Orioles of all time is Andy Chavez, just because he had that great song.
Yes. I don't have it ready.
Yeah.
But correct.
We're talking about fourth outfielders and you didn't have the Andy Chavez song ready?
No, I'll have it for you next week.
Thank you.
Maybe can anyone, any of our listeners musically talented, I would like an updated version, but it would say Ryan McKenna.
Yeah.
You can squeeze that name into there.
Other thoughts on the way the Orioles are recently playing?
Yeah, Matt Harvey. You went to that game Saturday. You talked all about the concessions, but not the fact that you saw Matt Harvey pitch one of his best games of the year.
Yeah. They pitched well. Back-to-back great starts.
Yeah.
Not giving any runs his last two starts. Impressive.
He hasn't pitched in great in back-to-back spots since maybe the beginning of the season. When he first came out, he pitched okay for a couple. But it's been like every time we'd write him off, he'd pitch a decent game, and then he'd go back to crap. So to see two in a row is exciting, I guess. Is it too late? Because the whole point of Matt Harvey pitching well is to trade him.
Yeah.
Is it too late to trade him?
I hope so. I hope so, because if we trade him, I don't know how I'm going to get to my 63.5 number, because that means we're going to replace Matt Harvey with Keegan Aiken.
Yeah, it's Keegan Aiken or Dean Kramer.
Or Tom Eshelman.
Or Zach Lothar.
So I hope we don't trade him just so I can get to my 63.5 number. But yeah, I mean, that's a really interesting question, because I was reading some articles today about the trade deadline. And it seems like everyone's looking for starting pitching, right? Yeah. We've seen some starting pitchers go out. We've seen some starting pitchers abuse people and therefore get kicked off their team. We've seen a lot of stuff happen. And so there's the need there is for starting pitchers.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we don't have any really good ones. Our best, of course, is John Means, who's coming off injury and still under control for several years. So it seems like the most likely to be traded could be a Matt Harvey. How much do you believe in two starts versus the previous 15 starts is the question.
And Harvey's not going to get you much, if anything.
No.
He's not going to get you anyone on your top prospects.
No, he's going to get you a 17-year-old Dominican player that Mike Elias saw sometime.
All right, maybe we can do a player to be termed later. Kind of steal this from the NFL, where you get a player ranking based on how well he pitches the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You know, like the NFL draft, you get a higher pick if your player that you lost plays better.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's a good point. I don't know how those trades work.
How player to be determined later?
Yeah, like, is it? Can you link in some type of performance incentive onto that trade chip? Like, I don't know.
Right, where the player doesn't need to worry about that, but you, when you trade them, you say, hey, if Matt Harvey gets you 6 wins, we want a top whatever prospect.
Yeah, or pitches so many innings, yeah.
If he pitches like we all expect, we'll just take the bottom of your heap.
Right. Yeah, I mean, if I was another team and I needed like a fifth starter, I think I could take it based on his track record and based on he's still throwing 94, 95. Right. I mean, I think if I was another GM and I would give up nothing for him, right? Not one of my top 30 prospects, just some kid. No offense to that kid, but just give up some kid. Like, I think I would do it.
Oh, and totally.
So I think it's possible that he does it. On the other hand, what is ERA is so close to 7? Like, it's, you could also see why teams would not. I mean, it's not like he's striking a bunch of guys out either, right? Like, he's not, his stuff doesn't look, he's getting weak contact. But like in the start the other day, he had 4 strikeouts in 6 innings. So it's not like his stuff is dominant, but yeah. Yeah. If I was another GM watching Matt Harvey, I think I would trade for him. It also, like, and it's weird too, because just the competition we've been playing recently, like, and we can get into the different players, but like our stock, for a lot of our kind of bubble guys who could be traded, the stock of these players on the rise. And it helps that Matt Harvey's last 2 starts were against the Royals, not a great offense, and the Nats, who've been struggling a bit, and they're getting ready to do a sell off too. So I think it's benefited Matt Harvey that he's not playing the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and the Rays.
Oh, totally.
And it benefits some of our other players as well.
No, and that's what I was saying weeks ago, where we had a really tough schedule for the first half. So yeah, it definitely helps out everyone for lesser teams. Like we got the Marlins and then the Tigers this week. So that's way better than any AL East team.
Yeah. And so this is, and we looked at it, we talked about it last week or the week before, this is a soft point in our schedule and we're playing well. And it goes back to, and you've talked about it before, Josh, the balance of schedule is just, it's just brutal that here's the main thing that's unfair about the schedule. And I've said this before, I'll say it 1,000 times, is that the Orioles never get to play the Orioles. And that makes their schedule completely unfair because everyone else gets to play us, but we don't get to play ourselves. It's an outrageous. It's an atrocity. We should be able to play ourselves every now and then to get some wins. But the fact that we have to go against the Blue Jays and the Yankees and the Rays over and over again is brutal. And these other teams don't have to do it. Like the other, every team in our divisions besides us is really good. And that's the only division really that's like that in baseball. And so our record would be a lot better. I mean, we want to be a playoff team, but our record would be better if we played in the NL East or if we played
in
any other division, really. Maybe anyway. Not the NL West, but in any other division besides the NL West.
Yeah, I think a lot of travel for that NL West. That wouldn't be good.
Well, yeah, and the Giants somehow have the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, but you're right. The NL East, who knows? NL East, we get hot, we could win the World Series.
Yeah. But the other thing about Matt Harvey is, the point is, on the one hand, yes, obviously everybody wants to trade him. Because you don't have that many trade chips and you get anybody back for him. He's on a 1-year deal, whatever. The other hand though is like, it's not nothing that you're going to replace him with either Keegan Aiken or Tom Eshelman or Dean Kramer. Seriously, like that's something.
Right.
I don't know if the Orioles want to watch Dean Kramer pitch. I don't know if they want to watch. I think there is something to say someone who is competent there to throw innings. I think there's something to that argument.
There is, but there's also something to, I want to see them in September of this year before I pencil them in for next year.
I don't want to see Dean Kramer or Keegan Aiken or Tom Eshelman. I know.
Okay.
I mean, I think Dean Kramer can do,
but all can work guys, on
control in Norfolk. He doesn't even mean the Orioles to do that.
But they're going to be, these are the same guys that are going to get the spring invites. And they're going to talk about for the rotation next year.
I hope not. For how much longer, Josh?
One more year, I think.
Our rotation next year needs to be addressed big time.
Totally. They need to sign a veteran president.
Here's my concern, Josh.
Not a one-year deal. A 3 to 4 year deal.
And my concern is, Josh, the way Spencer Watkins is pitching.
Yeah.
They're going to say,
good enough.
We got Spencer Watkins coming back.
Right. John Means, Spencer Watkins.
Just like Dean Kramer was good last year. Oh, it's Spencer. And then all of a sudden, guys with no track records who have one good year then have a year of regression, which happens all the time. Because, you know, they haven't proven it year, and you just don't know, and the leagues adjust. And so Spencer Watkins, maybe he's going to be a good pitcher, maybe not, but, like, you can't count on him next year being one of your five guys, I don't think.
Right, and that's not saying anything bad about Spencer Watkins.
Right.
It's just saying let's not crown these guys too early.
Right, and you're right. The only answer is and bringing in Felix Hernandez and Matt Harvey is not the answer either. Right. Guys who have kind of lost it in their career, and you're trying to just kind of be good for a single season, veteran guys, that's not the answer either. Obviously, just look at this year. There's going to be some interesting – I mean, and we're not even talking about being competitive. I mean, we're just talking about or making the playoffs or being 500, just like fielding a competitive team that's not embarrassing. You need better starting pitching. Though, again, this is awkward to have this conversation now because the past week or since the All-Star break – our pitching's a lot better. We got guys throwing into the sixth inning. So
right, but that's where you come back to the since you took a break from playing the AL East, you've looked better.
Yeah, and you have John Means back, which helps.
Right,
because not only this is the big thing. Like this is where I'm excited about. Freddy Galvis comes back next week or this week or next week, and it's a huge upgrade because you're going to replace Freddy Galvis, and who's going to be removed? Urias, who's playing short, will get moved, I assume, to second or third, and you'll take out a Lebia or a Valleca, and so you're replacing someone really bad with someone decent, so it's like a bigger upgrade because of who they're replacing. And that's what I think the deal is with, like, Spencer Watkins. Like, it's not just a Spencer Watkins or John Means, right? It's not just that John Means is good. He's also replacing someone who's absolutely atrocious, so it just makes everything so much better when you can take a good player to replace an atrocious player, which is also going to be so exciting when Adley Rutschman comes, because your team will be that much better because you're not just replacing like an average major leaguer or a good major leaguer. You're replacing a really bad player with a good player.
Right. So Watkins has had 3 starts, and he faced Toronto.
Good team.
Good
then offense,
Then he faced the White Sox, and then he faced
– great offense.
And then he faced Tampa Bay.
That's murderer's row right there.
That's what I'm saying. It kind of he gave up 3 runs over 16.1 innings.
Yep, has a 1.65 ERA, 2-0. Right.
So that's I'm not ready to crown Watkins, but he wasn't playing trash.
And tomorrow he's pitching against the Marlins.
Right. So he should be doing pretty good.
So he should be he should dominate.
Yeah, he should be able to go 9 innings.
Yeah, and Lopez is pitching the second game in Miami. He might even be able to go 5 innings. Who knows?
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what Lopez does. Marlins are definitely in the midst of that rebuild as far as us. They're apparently slightly ahead of us.
Yeah, yeah. They have, I think, more closer at Major League Ready players
than we had. East advantage.
Yeah, yeah. But they're also kind of, you know, a struggling team in a rebuild.
They are.
A couple more. If we're talking about trade deadline here, so Matt Harvey gets traded, Josh. If you were to put a percentage on it, this is trade deadline week. Matt Harvey gets traded. What percentage chance do you think Matt Harvey gets traded? What would you put that at?
When's the deadline?
I don't know. It's this week, right? Is it Friday, Saturday?
Yeah, I think it's like the 30th or 31st.
It's the 30th,
So that's one more start for Matt Harvey?
He'll get one more start. He'll get a start like on Friday, maybe, like on trade deadline day.
Oh, that's a lot of pressure. Orioles might want to bump him up to pitch on Thursday. I'm going to say a 40% chance Matt Harvey gets traded. Hmm. What are you saying? So I'm going to say more likely he's not going to get traded.
Yeah, I just looked it up, actually. It's interesting. This year, it's Friday the 30th. Normally, it's the 31st. But it says the league pushed the deadline up to prevent coinciding with day games, I guess, on the 31st, okay, which is a Saturday.
Uh-huh. So in other words, all the GMs want Saturday off. They want their weekend off.
Yeah. So, and if he start, I don't know if he's going to start Thursday or Friday.
Well, he pitched Saturday, so Sunday.
And it'd be against the Tigers.
Oh, yeah, he's on pace for Saturday.
When did he last pitch?
Saturday.
So he'll pitch Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
What? No, because Monday was an off day.
Okay, but so you're not. I guess
Tuesday,
if you want to.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Jorge Lopez is pitching on Wednesday.
And Watkins is pitching on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So that means Thursday you're going to put.
No, he'll pitch on normal 5 days rest. You're going to skip Eshelman or someone, whatever. You'll skip a bum that'll have him pitch on 5 days rest. He'll pitch Thursday or Friday.
Okay. All right. When's Means pitching?
I don't know. Who cares? Why? Is he going to be your next trade deadline guy?
Yes. These are the guys.
No, John Means is not a guy. No, John Means isn't going anywhere. There's 0% chance that there's even any serious talks about trading John Means.
All right. So if he's trading,
I'll be shocked.
All right, so he's going to pitch Thursday, we're going to say, against the Tigers.
Thursday or Friday. Either way, it's against the Tigers. Yeah.
All right. He's going to look good against the Tigers. The
Tigers aren't a great team.
No, they're a bad team. So I'm going to bump that up to 50%.
Oh, you think 50% chance?
50% chance.
All right. I'll put it at 25%.
Okay. All right.
I think it's unlikely, but it's very possible.
Yeah, if you wanted me to pick a side, I would go 49%. But
yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to put it right down the middle. Could go either way.
All right, trade deadline talk. Who do you want to talk about next? John Means 0%. Who's next?
All right.
Who do you think is the most likely guy to be traded?
Paul Fry.
Yes.
Paul Fry and Tanner Scott.
Really? I see so many people mention the name of Tanner Scott. I don't understand why you would trade Tanner Scott. I don't get that one.
He's got power and he's got potential.
Right. That's why you would keep Tanner Scott. Now, why would you trade him?
Because he's got power and he's got potential.
No.
Because Mike Elias needs to make moves. Tanner Scott hasn't really blossomed yet here entirely. So there's still plenty of opportunity for another team to push him a little further.
Okay. I think that's silly. All right, back up.
What's your percentage for Paul Fry?
I think it's 95%.
Yeah, I wrote down 100% for Paul Fry.
Yeah, I mean, and Paul Fry has benefited too from just being great the past couple of weeks. He's a guy who's pitched really well lately, and there was some struggle in the middle of the season, but now he's pitching well again. He's a lefty. People like lefties. Everyone needs a little lefty bullpen arm help. If you look at his last seven games, 2.35 ERA, seven innings pitched with 12 strikeouts, a WHIP of 0.65, just really impressive. I think he's pitching really well at the right time. I don't know what we'll get back for him, but I think it's very likely he's traded.
Yeah, and also I'll say for all these guys, it's exciting for any of them to be traded because you're leaving a crappy team and going to a contender. That's exciting for them.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. I think it's one of those things where it's tough when you've been playing on the same team for a while and you know everybody, then you go to a place where you don't know anybody. But yeah, I do think players, you know, would like to play for a competitive team. Though I would say 95. I mean, Paul Fry is also another guy where it's not like he's a free agent next year. He just becomes arbitration eligible next year. So it's not like you need to trade him because you're going to lose them. You're not going to lose them. You'll have to pay them a little bit more next year. So that's the reason to trade them. And I think just because there's no one else, the attention goes on him. And so that's where I think 95, but you don't have to, like he's not walking at the end of the year. Like you can keep him. And you don't have a lot of great bullpen arms, you know, so there's a reason to keep him. But yeah, I think it's likely he's gone.
All right. What's your percentage on Tanner Scott? I'm giving Tanner Scott 60% chance.
Tanner Scott is similar as far as contract to Paul Fry. He won't be a free agent to 2025. but you'll have to start paying him arbitration next year, so it'll get more expensive. I mean, I don't think, Josh, you mentioned potential. No playoff contending team is trading for a bullpen arm for potential. Like, they want someone who can help right now.
Correct. You're right.
But if you look at the numbers, I mean, 40 innings pitched, 59 strikeouts. That shows you two things. It shows you he's durable because he's thrown 40 innings, which is a lot of innings to throw as a bullpen guy. And 59 strikeouts is really good. His ERA, 3.12, is good. And he's a lefty, and he can throw 99 miles per hour. He's not going to be your closer. I don't think you're trading him as your closer, but he could be an excellent bullpen arm. I mean, I just think the Orioles view him as a future dominant closer. He's only 27. So I think it's unlikely just because I think the Orioles want him to be part of the future.
All right.
So, percentage, I would put the percentage at, I don't know, like 15% chance he gets traded. And what's your percent?
60.
Okay.
Because I don't think they have much else out there besides Paul Fry.
Yeah, I mean, certainly other teams would be interested in him. But no doubt, he's a little bit younger than Paul Fry. He's got kind of more electric stuff. And his, right. I mean, his numbers are a little bit better this year.
All right, so who do you want to discuss next?
Cedric Mullins?
All right. All right. I think Cedric Mullins, I would be shocked if teams are not calling to ask about Cedric Mullins. There's need for outfielder.
A center fielder, yeah.
He's, you can put him in any of the positions, but there's need for what he can do. Yep. So I imagine people are calling for him.
Yeah.
I imagine the Orioles do not want to trade him unless they get something really, really good. But as we've talked about on previous episodes, we have options if Cedric Mullins leaves. So I am going with 30% chance. Because, again, with the need and many teams needing outfielders, we could perhaps get overwhelmed with an offer for Mullins.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows the numbers. He's having an all-star year. He's having one of the best years ever for an Orioles outfielder. He's having just an amazing year, right? Talk about trading guy at the peak of his kind of performance. His earliest arbitration year is 2023, so he's making no money this year. He'll make no money next year. He's not a free agent until 2026, right? So he's still under your team for five more years. So all that being said, the offer would have to be amazing. It would have to be kind of this blow-away offer to lose Cedric Mullins. And, I mean, I don't think, especially because he's only done this for one year, I don't think any team's going to blow away the Orioles' door because you don't know. Is he going to regress next year? But then Mike Elias could say, yeah, like, I don't know if he could regress next year too, so let me trade him while I can still get some value for him. Some real value for him. So I don't know. I guess I would put the percent, Josh, of him being traded at 1%. No, I don't know. I will go back between it. I would say less than 1%.
Okay, you're going real low with that.
Yes.
All right. So less than 1%, rounding up or rounding down?
Yeah. Let's call it a point. 0.49, so we can round down to zero.
So I'm giving you a 0% for Cedric Mullins.
Yeah, okay, we'll call it 0%.
All right, let's talk about everyone's favorite person to discuss at the trade deadline.
Did you give a percent for Cedric Mullins?
Yeah, 35%.
Okay. Hey,
no, 30%. Sorry.
30%?
Yeah,
that's 30%. Pretty high. Hey, also, can I just say another guy who I think is going to be traded?
Yeah, I mean, we got another big name to talk about.
This is not a big name.
All right, well, don't say it yet.
This is a really small name.
I know, but let's talk about the big name, and then we're each going to make a random pick.
Okay.
A guy that we haven't talked about that we think might be traded.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. I wrote 35% down for Mr. Trey Mancini because he's older, because we've talked about we did the Jelly Bean Show. Go back and do the Jelly Bean Show, and you'll get all your answers on why you should or shouldn't trade Trey Mancini. I think Trey Mancini has been impressive, especially second half or mid-season, he's really stepped up. looked good at the Home Run Derby. I think that took his story nationally. I don't think you get a huge thing for him. But I also see Ryan Mountcastle as your future first baseman. I see your future outfield coming together. And you kind of don't have a place for Trey Mancini in your future, as good as a guy as he is.
So what percentage did you put?
35.
Yeah. I would have probably said, if you asked me this a week ago, I would have said about 30%. But the past week, Trey Mancini has been in fuego. The past week, he's batting .393, an OBP of .433. He has a couple of dongs. In the last week, he has two home runs, about .393, .433 on base percentage. He's just playing really. He's hitting the ball really hard. He's just crushing balls. He's playing really good baseball. And so I think just the way that, I mean, teams like, you know, players who are hot. We saw my favorite example, Jonathan Scope, who's doing again this year, get super hot at the trade deadline, and then try to trade him. So. I think it's higher now just because he's playing so well, where before he was batting like .250, you know, his average is up to .266, has 18 home runs this year so far.
Right. And you could easily make the argument that it was expected for him to do this as he's getting back into baseball shape.
Yeah. And that he's going to perform as an over .300 hitter and hit a bunch of home runs the second half of the season.
True.
So I'm right now, I put the percentage at, I still think it's a better chance he's not traded, but I think it's possible. I'm going to put it at 45% he's traded.
All right. I think that's the first one that you've picked higher than me as far as the percentage. But you're right. I believe there's a higher chance of him being traded than Cedric Mullins.
Yeah. And Mike Elias, I don't know. He's a little bit hard to read. He seems like a very kind of like analytical, obviously, but like objective, like not like what's better for my team. Like I'm, right. And we're in the talent acquisition phase. We're not in the good story phase, the rebuild.
Right.
We're in the talent acquisition phase. And, right. and Trey Mancini will net more talent than any of the other guys we talked about. Well, not Cedric Mullins, John Means, but
yes,
but a guy with an expiring contract and a veteran, all those factors.
Right.
The jelly beans. We've been there.
Yeah, no, totally. I agree with that. And because, you're right. The feel-good story does not – there's no line in Excel to calculate that.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you have a chance to get – let's say you can get, you know, I don't know, two top 100 guys or two guys that Mike Elias views as top 200 guys.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you really want to be cold about it, you could say the Orioles have already made enough money off the feel-good story. They've already peaked it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like unless they're going to be unless next year they're giving away the Trey Mancini strikeout cancer bobblehead, which I don't know why they didn't have that this year. I think you're running out of opportunities to cash in on the cancer.
Well, and yeah, I mean the other question is like how many. Like, what impact will that have on numbers of fans and stuff and fan base?
Who cares? You already lost all those.
Yeah, most of them are already gone. Like, those people are already gone.
Yeah.
And so, you have a bunch of people complaining on Twitter about it. And I will, too. I'll be the first to complain, too. Especially if we don't get back a huge package. I'll be the first to complain. But I'm also going to forget in 2023 when I'm in the World Series. I'm gonna forgive Mike Elias for this transgression. Like, this is why he makes the big money, right? To make these, this is a really tough decision.
Yep.
And so this is why he makes the big bucks.
All right. So you got a random Oriole that you think might get traded.
Yeah.
All right. Who's your guy?
My guy is a guy who's been under the radar in the bullpen, but have been super effective this year, even though no one talks about him. People don't like him because he had one bad outing as a closer. But I think the guy likely to be traded because everyone needs bullpen help is Cole Saucer.
Yeah. Oh, Cole Saucer. Okay.
Yeah. You would think I was going with Dylan Tate or someone?
No, I thought you might go with Mr. Deadfish.
Oh, no, I don't think anybody wants that.
This.
No, I think Cole Saucer has his stuff is good enough. His numbers are good enough, or people would just take a look at the stuff and numbers and say, yeah. I mean, if you look at his ERA this year, it's 2.97. which is pretty good. 49 strikeouts and 36 innings pitched. So I think people will take a look at that and say, yeah, yeah, like this guy could help our bullpen. And the Orioles have no reason to hold on to him after, you know, they have no reason to hold on to him. So I think it's possible. And not a big return, but I think it's likely. I would put it at, you know, 70%, 75% that Cole Saucer is traded.
Gotcha.
Who's your surprise guy?
My surprise guy is Ramon Urias, a guy who's been playing decent recently. Second baseman, low infielder. If you're looking for a utility guy that you can get cheap to add to your bench, I think Ramon Urias might be the guy.
Hmm.
So I'm not putting a high percentage in there, but that's kind of my dark horse pick.
Yeah, that could be interesting. And I don't know how Freddy Galvis works. If anyone can trade for Freddy Galvis, he's injured, but right. He's supposed to come back this week. If he like is, I don't think you can trade when they're on the IL. At right, least if this follows the rules of MLB The Show, you cannot trade guys when they're IL. But maybe the day he comes off, you can swing a trade. But then again, you haven't seen him play, so I don't know if that would work. But there's a chance that Freddy Galvis could be traded. But, I don't know. That's going to be a tricky one, too.
Yeah, you're right. And in the chat, DJ Stewart's mentioned.
Yeah, that's an interesting name. That's possible.
I just don't know what people would give up for DJ Stewart.
Well, nothing, but I think a team might see the potential. I mean, we saw some articles written about him in the offseason where he has this OBP numbers and he's shown these power numbers. And so maybe a team can think, oh, we can capitalize on that. I think that's actually a pretty good pick.
It looks like Freddy Galvis is going to go on rehab assignment this week and back right. In the majors next week.
So I might miss that coming off the injured list.
I don't know. I think they can still trade him if he's on rehab.
Hmm.
I'm not sure how that works. I'm trying to look up and see. But my phone's not cooperating.
Yeah, but you hope Mike Elias can make some moves. I see in the chat too, they mentioned the getting a nice three-player deal for Mancini similar to Bundy deal and not getting a top 100 guy. And yeah, I think that's more realistic, and that's also why I would be hesitant on the one hand, hesitant to pull that trigger. On the other hand, though, you look at the Bundy trade right now. You look how well Bradish and Branovich are pitching, and you think, oh, man, like these like, I mean, Mike Elias seems to be really good at identifying talent that maybe aren't top prospects, but identifying talent that he can develop. So you think, man, you want Elias to have as many trade chips as possible to kind of pull the trigger on some of these prospects that he seems to be really good at identifying, at least thus far. We haven't seen it play out in the majors yet. But thus far, Mike Elias seems to have a knack for identifying these prospect talents that might not be highly ranked, even in their own team system, but bringing them over and developing them.
Right.
So it's unfortunate that there's not more trade chips, right?
Correct.
Like
correct.
You almost wish Mike Elias was here. I don't want to, you know, talk bad about Daniel Kett, my man, who led us into the playoffs multiple times. Right. I don't want to talk bad about him, but. You almost wish Mike Elias could have been here when we had the big sell-off of, yes. You know, the Britton Machado, the Gossman, and all that stuff.
All right, but we're going to talk about that because we've been promising this bonus episode.
Yes, it's happening, yes.
We didn't record it while we were in the banks, focused on some family time. So we're going to record it probably tomorrow and get it out later this week.
Yes, I have all my notes ready. It's coming out, and spoiler alert, it's not pretty.
Right, it will come out in time for the trade deadline, probably Friday to match your trade deadline talk.
Yeah.
All right. The Orioles also must have really liked that crowd on Saturday night because they just sent out an email that they're doing a ticket sale for Saturday, August 7th. For the next 2 days, if you go buy tickets for the Saturday, August 7th, which is another bobblehead giveaway day, so it's the Orioles bird bobblehead mascot giveaway. It's the induction of J.J. Hardy, Mike Devereaux, Joe Angel, and Mo Gabba into the Hall of Fame. So that you're adding those two things together. Plus, they are doing a 2 tickets for $12 sale to go see the Rays. So you get tickets for $6 a piece for the Rays August 7th game. So they're trying to pack the crowd just like they did this past Saturday.
Well, that's cheaper than a minor league game. Shoot. Yeah, so that's great. That's great they're doing the sales. They should continue to do those. I don't know why they don't do those more. More teams don't do that.
No.
Whatever. Give away the tickets. Get people's right. families in the seats.
Right. It shouldn't be for August 7th. They should send another they should have sent an email this afternoon or yesterday saying, hey, Marlins are in town. The Marlins suck. Come cheer on the Marlins, $5 a piece. And do whatever you can to pack the crowd.
Josh's hatred of the Orioles PR, even when they do something good, Josh finds a way to criticize, even when they do something well. Well, they should have done it for the Marlins. Not Josh. No,
I get it. It's good, and they need to do more of these, but, is what I'd say.
Yeah.
The $40 all you can stand is a good promotion. Now, read the fine print because they auto-renew you for October if you're selected in September or something. Or August, they auto-renew you for September. So you got to keep an eye out on that, but it's a good deal.
Oh, the auto-renew. The auto-renew gets me all the time.
Yeah, of course.
All right, do you got anything else you want to go to? Something? I'm just, to be honest, we're just yapping about the trade deadline talk. I'm just trying to fill up 50 minutes before I can ask you about, you know, the PlayStation update. I'm just kind of filling the time because this is what I really, I'm doing this whole podcast just so I can ask you.
I know, we get messages over
about the PlayStation update.
Yeah, then the ball bag questions that come in are always about the PlayStation update.
Yeah.
Let's see. So I mean,
we don't even need to do a Ball 4 segment tonight. Let's just get a PlayStation update.
A PlayStation update?
Yeah.
So I sent a text to the guy on Friday morning saying, hey, I'm leaving the Outer Banks. I'll be home like midnight, so I'll get the games from you on Saturday morning. Sounds good, because he's told me that he was picking them up on Thursday night, and I didn't even question him on Friday, even though I knew he didn't get them.
Right.
So then Saturday comes, I text him, he goes, I'm on it. Then I
nothing.
Yeah. Then I go over and help him install a ceiling fan.
Because hold up. You help this guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. I mean there's a lot of comments and I could make. I'm just gonna let it go. Okay, you help the man.
Right.
You help this swindler, this snake oil salesman, you help him install the ceiling fan. Okay. Okay. Good for you, Josh.
All right.
He then better man than me.
He then tells me they're coming today. As in Saturday.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I hope you sabotage that fan. Okay,
it gets better. I then go over to his house again Saturday night to play poker.
Okay.
Still no Xbox or PlayStation. No video games. Then he tells me in person there that his brother-in-law has him. It's going to be a horrible Sunday for his brother-in-law.
It was supposed to be a horrible Sunday three Sundays ago. But okay.
So anyway. Sunday comes, I go to church, I leave him alone, I don't say anything, come back, text him saying, so what's the deal? And he said, well, my ceiling fan's not working. It stopped working after 30 minutes. So I took it down, and I'm now exchanging it at Home Depot. I'm like, okay. I say, so what about the video games? Oh, he's coming. I'm just waiting for him to call me. Getting it today. So then I go over to his house and help him a second time with the ceiling fan on Sunday.
Yeah.
Because, hey, the systems are coming Sunday night. They didn't show up.
You should start sleeping at his house. Just say, I'm not leaving until I get my system.
So I told him. So then today he tells me that, yeah, I'm getting them once my brother-in-law gets off work. I have to go pick him up. And I said, okay, great. And then I texted him right before we did the podcast because I knew – I would need an update. Now, he was complaining at 1:30 that his brother-in-law would not bring them to him, so he has to go pick them up. So then he...
At 1:30 on July 26th, also at 1:30 on July 16th, I think it was the same complaint. But, okay, go ahead.
Oh, totally. I got pages.
Maybe June 16th as well, yeah.
All right. So at 7:50, he said, yes, he will be here around 10 p.m. with the systems. He's getting off work soon, and it takes him 2 hours to get back from home from work. So at 10 o'clock, you will have the systems. So as we record, it is 8:59 at this moment. So if you're keeping track, I will have the systems in 1 hour and 1 minute. Stay tuned for next week's update while I'm still waiting.
If this was my bookie, I would put $100. I would put more than I put in the Orioles within 63 and a half games that the system will not arrive
If we're doing percentages, if I have the PlayStation by the trade deadline, I am going 30% chance I have it.
Yeah. So I think we could have a fun game on, like, guess the date. I see you can get closest all to right. guessing the date.
Fine.
That, and I'm going to put a date out there right now, Josh, because I think you will get these PlayStations. I think you will get them. And I want to put a date out right now, recorded or for the record. I'm going to put a date out there.
All right. What date are you putting out there?
I'm going to say you're going to get these PlayStations on August 10th.
August 10th?
That's the date I'm putting on there. At around 8:30 p.m.
I got some stuff on my calendar for August 10th, but I could make that work.
Yeah.
I am going to go with, if you're making me pick a day.
Yeah, you pick a day. I'm seeing how much a sucker you are. So much you're still believing here.
I'm going with September 1st.
Okay, September 1st.
September 1st.
Okay, I think that's very reasonable.
Because
and would not be at all surprising.
Right, I believe I paid for them in March.
Yeah.
I told you, it's a really, really good deal.
It's a very good deal.
So
good things are worth the wait sometimes.
I don't know if I shared the deal on here. But
no, you didn't share the deal.
All right, so even if it comes September 1st, it's still a really good deal.
Still a good deal.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't come at all, Josh, that's not a good deal. If it doesn't come at all, that's a bad deal.
Still a good deal for you. Bad deal for me.
Great deal for me. I went out on this deal a very long time ago.
Yes, you did. So that is the PlayStation update for this week.
Nice. Nice. Well, I look forward to hearing how you didn't get it next week.
Oh.
And then the week after.
No, you're in luck.
Yeah.
You're in luck. We're doing
He just showed up. He just showed up right now. He just pulled in the driveway. He's carrying the PlayStations in the house. You're watching him through the window.
Yeah, you got a bonus episode this week, so you'll get another update in a few days.
Oh, nice. True. Nice.
So two updates this week.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll find out on the bonus episode if you got him tonight.
Tonight. Yeah, correct.
Yeah, yes. You'll find out. All right.
So quick answer, no, they did not show up
tonight. So funny. I hope he listens to this podcast.
We'll see. He listened to it when I trashed him back in like March or whatever.
And that got you your PlayStations.
And it did get me my
PlayStation. Got you your PlayStation, yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Oh, wrong button. Got my buttons mixed up.
Oh, I was going to share about me going to the eye doctor today for ball four. Talk about it.
Oh, I thought that's tomorrow.
I went to the eye doctor today.
Oh, tomorrow you're going to Warby Parker.
Yeah.
Or wherever you get your glasses.
Yeah, I was going to go to Warby Parker. There's been a slight change of plans. Apparently, I was going to go with the whole fam, and then we're going to go to the Baltimore Science Center, but apparently that's closed on Tuesdays. That's kind of a bummer. Yeah.
Staffing issues?
But I hate that. I want to go to an eye doctor's one time, and then I'll wrap up the show here. But I want to go to an eye doctor's one time that where they don't sell the glasses. Because that's the whole thing. They, like, hand you off from the eye doctor right to the eyeglass seller. It's like a direct handoff.
And don't give you your prescription.
Right.
Yes.
And they have the prescription, but I don't. And I can spend three times as much there than I would at Warby Parker.
Correct.
And so you have to come up with this whole elaborate excuse about why you can't buy the glasses at that moment.
Oh, no. I got I'm going to buy online. You rip me off.
Is that what you say? See, I'm non-confrontational, so I can't do that. So I give this whole excuse about, I need to be here with my wife to print them out. And then, can you please print me off the prescription? I just like for my own knowledge to know what the prescription is. I'm not going to go to WarbyParker.com tonight and buy them. I just, for my own benefit, I'd like to know my prescription. Please and thank you. And then they give it to me. But it's a whole thing.
They know.
But I know they know.
I'll tell you what I did for Warby Parker. How I got my Warby Parkers.
Yeah.
I got LASIK years ago, and suddenly I noticed that my eyes weren't great at night.
Yeah.
So I was driving. I think I was driving home from the Outer Banks, and I couldn't see some road signs.
Because LASIK promised you night vision, and they just started not working.
Yeah. Okay, it took 10 years. Okay. 10 years, and they started to wear it out.
Okay, fine.
And then my wife was sleeping next to me in the car, so she didn't have on her glasses. So I picked them up for fun and put on her glasses, and I said, I can see these signs. So I went home, I found her prescription, and I typed it all into Warby Parker as if it was my prescription, and I'd ordered a pair of glasses.
Nice.
I then wore those glasses for 2 years with her prescription, until I finally went to an eye doctor.
Yeah.
And then found out my true prescription and then just told the pharmacy eye doctor people that I really like these Warby Parker frames, so I need your lenses to fit into these frames. Hmm. And that's what they did. So then I just bought the $50 lenses and I was out of there.
Nice. Smart. So,
a little life hack to rip off the system, just steal someone else's prescription. You got to check the box saying that you promise this is your prescription and it's within the last year. But it's just a checkbox.
So I should just go randomly trying on other people's glasses to find one that fits.
As long as they have a
prescription. And then get their prescription.
As long as you know what the prescription is, yes.
Okay, fine.
And I don't know if it damaged my eyes more or less, but I wear glasses all the time now.
Yeah, probably more. Well, anyway, but I got my prescription. I got it. I got the prescription. And
okay, good.
So again, I got out of there. And I don't need to go back there until I need to update my prescription again.
Right. So they can talk behind your back for a year.
Yeah. Yeah. They also tried to charge me on, I don't want to get into it. Anyway, I got out of there not paying anything, but it was a close call.
Gotcha. My youngest, Camden, went to the dentist today.
Mm.
It had to get a cavity.
Mm. Talk about painful, yeah.
Yeah, and apparently she wouldn't open up her mouth for the dentist and wouldn't take the gas stuff that they put in there. So they basically kicked her out and said, you got to go find a new dentist.
Oh, really?
Because they couldn't do the work on her.
Oh, man.
You got to take her to sedation dentistry.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's wild. Yeah. That's – what do you do if you don't open your mouth up? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I didn't take her.
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know how I would have handled it.
Yeah.
But, yep.
All right, fun stories here.
Let's get out of here.
I opened my eyes for the eye doctor, and they didn't do the thing where they shoot air into your eye anymore. They didn't do that anymore.
Isn't that just for, like, glaucoma or something?
I thought they the standard thing, but now they got another thing that does it, but they don't have to shoot anything into your eyes.
Do they still dilate your eyes?
I don't know. What does that mean?
When your eyes get all big.
I don't know.
Okay. Did you drive afterwards?
Oh, yeah. They tried to charge me for that, and so I said don't do it.
Oh, I didn't know that cost extra.
They said that cost an extra $30 or something. So I said no thanks.
Gotcha. Yeah. Who cares about $30 when it's your health?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I try to tell them.
Right. Yeah, I know. Right, exactly. My eyes work. I just can't see clearly.
That's right. And I'm going to keep on doing that if you're going to charge me. I'd rather be blind and rich than, you know, see well but have no money. That's my motto.
I understand.
Motto I live by. So you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. You can write us a 5-star review. We appreciate those.
Yeah, you can join us on Patreon. Click on the little sponsor link on section336.com.
Absolutely. And you can follow me on Twitter for all my hot trade deadline takes, which I may or may not have on Twitter, at section336. And you can follow
At least for your whining.
Yeah.
You always make any move.
Yeah, yeah. If they make any move, and I if I like it, I probably won't say anything. But if I'm not happy, I'll go on there and whine. That's how I use Twitter.
Yep. Understand.
And you can follow Josh on Twitter
at Josh Soroka.
Thanks for listening, boys and girls. And as always, go O's. And go Mike Elias. Make some trades.